I would ask how you guys are doing, but I know that we're having a blast. So today is GT launch. GT stands for get-togethers. How many of you guys have been a part of a get-together? Raise your hands. That's a lot. Oh, that makes me so happy and proud of us. And how many of you guys are leading get-togethers or have led get-togethers? Raise your hand. All right. Now give it up for these guys. So guys, I am going to very shortly talk about get-togethers. If you're new to this church, by the way, I'm David. I lead our small groups here and help with the worship as well. And one of the things that we do in get-togethers is we meet in one another's homes. It's a small group ministry, basically. And the purpose of get-togethers, we've always said there's three pillars that we're really going after. One of those is to build lasting relationships. That's to have relationships that just go deeper than the Sunday morning, that get into one another's life. It's where one of my favorite terms, real talk, happens. It's being close enough with someone that you can share your vulnerabilities with, share your mistakes with, and also share your triumphs with, somebody that you can really celebrate with. That's not meaning much to anyone, so I guess I'll just go ahead and say it. Somebody to help you move when it's time for you to move into a new house. So this is where we develop deep friendships, lasting relationships that go the years. Let me just tell you just really shortly, it is a very good thing to have relationships that go beyond a decade, okay? Matt Peterson, that's a relationship that I've had that has gone beyond a decade, and it just gets better and better. We always say, we hope we get to do this together for 30 years. There's a sweetness that comes from it. Can anybody testify that? Some of you guys have been married 50 years, right? And so there's lasting relationship is one. Another one that we talk about is developing aspiring leaders and small groups being a place just to have more opportunity to share your gifts with one another. You know, we have one service a week, which, let's be honest, we all kind of really love that, don't we? There's just one service. And there's only so much, you know, we can do in one service. There's only so many worship leaders that we're going to be leading worship, but there's only so many drummers. You know, we have three drummers now, and, you know, there's so many more giftings than what are allowed or that are what are can be really stewarded on a Sunday morning. And so the small groups are a place for you to share your gift, for worship leaders to go lead worship for the group, for you to share your teaching gift, to speak, to encourage. So it's really a place to get plugged in and serve and just to serve with your gifting. And the third thing is that we would be missional communities. And what we mean by missional communities is that when a group meets together and becomes close or comfortable with one another and you start going deeper and you start ministering to one another and it's you know, gets really good and it's juicy and like, I can't wait to go to that group because, you know, I get to speak this week or so-and-so speaking this week. It's going to be great. And I know that I'm going to leave really encouraged, right? So say that you do that for a while. Well, eventually, the idea is that maybe a group would say, well, how can we take this beyond our living room? And how can we bless our neighbors? Or what could we do if we all volunteered down at the children's hospital? Or what if we did this? And we would just develop missional communities. And so those are the three pillars that we've always talked about. And do you know sometimes when you feel like you're following God in something and you start something and you have vision and he gives you one step at a time and then you realize that you're onto something way greater than you realize that God is actually leading you to something that was larger than yourself or what you thought it was. And you find yourself, you're like, man, I thought we were just going to do some cool things at, you know, small group at Awake Church to help foster community and to make us, you know, it easier to get grafted in and connected here, but we just might darn well be, you know, really moving forward and establishing the kingdom of God. Well, go figure. Well, that's kind of what I've realized, I've watched happen here is I've been seeing the kingdom come in the most incredible ways in these groups. The testimonies that come in, the lives that have been changed, the people that have been getting connected. And I want to share with you guys a dream that I didn't realize how connected it was to the practical things that God had been doing through these groups. Probably about 2.5 years ago, are there any dreamers in here? Does God speak to people in dreams? Yeah, that's one of the primary ways for me God speaks to me is in dreams. And I had a powerful one. Usually the powerful ones are the ones you wake up and you remember it. You just know exactly what they were. And if you're smart, you write them down, which I rarely do. It usually takes me like a week to write them down. And so I woke up in this dream and I got chills this morning when we were singing Happy Birthday because I didn't connect this until we started singing Happy Birthday to Doris. But in this dream, I was with you guys. I was with my family, Awake Church. I was leading worship, and the Spirit of God fell in worship in a very powerful, tangible way. It was one of those services where we were on our face, right? We were just like, the glory of God filled the house. And in that moment, I felt the Spirit of God come on me and to prophesy, and I started to prophesy over our church. And what we started doing is the worship song changed to the song Happy Birthday. And we started singing Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday to you, Happy Birthday, dear Awake Church, Happy Birthday to you. So that's what happened. Not to be too weird, but you're not scared away by weird or else you wouldn't be here. Can we sing that? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Awake Church. Happy birthday to you. And then I prophesied immediately after that song these exact words in this dream. Awake Church, God is birthing something brand new from this place. We have been given the spirit of a pioneer, and there is a brand new model of church that God has been birthing through us, and we will be one of the very first in the world to ever model it. And so that was the beginning of my dream. I spoke that word, there's a new model, we'll be one of the first to ever model it. And that's something that I deeply resonate with anyway. That's something that I pray about. God, there is something, I find such beauty and I find such purpose in the rhythm of Sunday morning. I really do. I think it's a sacred rhythm. It's a practice that I never want to not be a part of my life, what we do here. And I think one of the reasons that I have such a love for it and appreciation for it is because I've admitted to myself the insufficiency of it. Right? I've admitted to myself a while ago that this is not everything in the kingdom, what's happening here on a Sunday morning. That the church itself, the model that we have, that the system that we have, the way we do it, it answers to the kingdom, right? It's not the kingdom itself. It stands in support to the kingdom. It actually stands accountable to the kingdom. But I've admitted that what we do, the way that we do it, the type of thing that we do, there's insufficiency in it. And what I mean by insufficiency is if we put all of our hope in church on Sunday morning, we'll always be wanting more. You guys know what I'm saying. Even if you're pretending that you don't, you know what I'm saying. Because you come into a new church, you expect this is where I'm going to find my purpose and my calling. I'm going to meet people that, you know, just satisfy what I've been looking for. And many of you guys have just searched for years for a church like that. And even if we were just the best pastoral staff in the world, even if we had the best worship in the world, even if we had the best messages, there is something insufficient about the way that we express it. And obviously this is true because we're missing a generation of young people. You know, there really are lots of young people that have just lost interest in the way that we do it. They haven't lost interest, ironically, what I'm finding in Jesus. They're very interested in Jesus. They're very interested in sincere people that love Jesus. but it's the way we're doing it. And I have believed for a while that there's a new model coming. And so I have this dream. There's a new model coming. And I prophesy those words, I speak those words, and then the dream kind of begins. And I'm going to read you what I have here. So there in this dream, we were in this land that was kind of like Narnia. Do you guys ever seen Narnia? It's like there, it was like cold, and it was, you know, there was obviously something of life that was taken away and replaced by something lifeless. There was something of a blessing that was taken away and replaced by something of a curse, right? And so in this dream, we were in a place like Narnia, and it was a dry land region. And there was a wizard type of a person, and he was controlling everything. He was controlling this curse that had been placed over the land by possessing different bodies throughout decades and generations. He would possess a body, and the body would get worn down over time, and it would need recharge. So then he'd jump into a different body, and it would be a different form. It would be a different form of authority that he'd carry. And he would jump from body to body, and I knew in the dream that this ancient spirit, the operator of it, was fear, control, and a religious spirit. I knew that. That was just a knowing in the dream. So there was this ancient spirit of fear, control, and religion that was oppressing people, causing them to be afraid. And then four children in this region were trying to break the curse that he had put on the land, on the region. And this is what they did. As they were figuring out how to overcome him, they saw this pond of water, and they dunked their heads underneath the surface of the water, and they started speaking in tongues. And after they came up out of the water, they were newly developed, matured adults that had developed beyond their years. The land was healed and the curse was broken. That ancient spirit was overcome. And I woke up with all kinds of questions. and I started processing this dream with the Lord. I was like, God, what is this about? Who are the four children? Like, what is this dream about? Like, why did it start off with happy birthday? Like, what are you doing? And this pioneering thing, like what is Awake Church supposed to do differently? What's new about this? And then, oh, the speaking in tongues thing, that was really wild. Like, well, what does that speak to me about? Well, I mean, I know biblically that's about a baptism of fire. That's about the Holy Spirit coming into a person's life and ultimately just taking over, you know, taking up residence, living inside of us. That was a promise that Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witnesses upon the ends of the earth. And it was such a big deal that he told the disciples to go and wait in Jerusalem. He said, don't do anything until you receive this Holy Spirit. It's funny that we think we can do so much without him. But Jesus said, go and wait till it comes, because you're not going to want to miss out on the power that you have when you have the Holy Spirit. You're not going to want to miss out. Trust me, you don't want to get in a circumstance where you're just relying upon your ability to teach well. You don't want to get in a circumstance where maybe someone's about to, you know, take your life, or you're about to lay down your life and you have to pull out a guitar to make the service go well. You don't want to be relying on your own gifts and strengths. You don't want to be relying on what you know, your cunning, your wisdom, your ability to craft words. You're going to need something greater. So wait in Jerusalem, and when you get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what happened. You'll be my witnesses till the ends of the earth. So Jesus's model was to have a bunch of guys get filled with God and go out and change the world, right? That's a pretty good model. That's a pretty good model. So they go to Jerusalem, the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens, people are getting just filled with God, and the gospel starts to go forth. And I'm thinking about Jesus's model and like, well, how is he doing this all along? Well, he did something very similar to small groups of people. And this isn't just a plug for our GTs. I mean, this is something, like I said, that I found to be way bigger than Awake Church. This is a kingdom thing. Jesus, in Luke chapter 9, let's turn there if you have your Bible with you. In Luke chapter 9, it says this in verse 1, he called the 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing on your journey, no staff, no bag, bread, money. Moving down, he says, whoever doesn't receive you, shake the dust off your feet. Basically, keep going. And verse 6, they departed and went into the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. So Jesus makes a decision. He says, I'm going to give these guys power and authority. I'm going to, in essence, multiply myself. You know, because I've been doing miracles. He comes up, the next story, I mean, he's feeding a crowd of people with some bread and some fish. He feeds 5,000 people. And so they're watching him do this. They're amazed and they're thinking, what a gift, right? What a powerful gift. Like, this guy can multiply bread. We saw him heal the sick. We saw him open blind eyes. Man, this guy, what a gift. So amazing. Man, I'm so glad that I can watch him do this every week. It's so wonderful that we can be around him every day. And what does that sound like? What, you know, I know as a young person, I've had that emotion so many times going to church. I remember wanting to be a worship leader when I was young. I was like, whew, man, that guy's amazing. I just want to watch him do this. What a teaching gift. Wow, look what that person does. Wow, that person, he called out three people from the crowd and he gave them a prophetic word. And that is amazing that some people can do that. That is amazing that some people have that ability to hear God. Am I preaching to anyone? Has anyone ever felt that? And so Jesus, knowing that they were feeling this way, what does he do? Well, he says, well, this isn't just for me. It's not just, I'm not the only one that is supposed to heal the sick. I'm not the only one that's supposed to walk in this kind of a power and authority. Hey, guys, let me give you this power and authority that I have. And he does that in Luke chapter 9, verse 1. He gives power and authority. And how many of us, I mean, still in church today, you know, that can be such taboo. We're so worried about cutting people free too early, or what happens if they mess up, or what happens if they make a mistake. And the next several chapters, they're just downright comical. They're comical. It says here in verse 43, actually verse 44, Jesus is talking to them and he says, let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men. But they didn't perceive what he was saying because it was concealed to them. They were afraid to ask him about the saying. And so instead, verse 46, an argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. So Jesus is saying, hey guys, we're close friends. I'm going to tell you something. I'm about to die. My life is going to be given over to the hands of men. I'm about to die. And they're like, well, we don't know what he means. Hey, who do you think is the best looking guy here? Who do you guys think is like most likely to take over when he dies? Like, who do you think has the best leadership ability? And they start, you know, John's like, well, you know, it's clearly me because you guys, you know, haven't bathed in 3 days. It's obviously not you. You're definitely not the most good looking Peter. Like, they're arguing back and forth and arguing about who is going to be the greatest, who's the best one, who's the most impressive minister. And I love that Jesus just moves on. Like, he knows that's happening in his ranks. He's not ready to cut anybody from the team yet. You know what I mean? And then the story goes on down a little later in Luke chapter 9, where they see these other people walking in power. And they come to Jesus and they say, listen, they're not with us and they shouldn't be walking in this kind of power. Like, did you see what's happening over there? Jesus, they're not one of the 12. And Jesus basically says, they say to him, what should we do about this? And then they make a suggestion. Have you ever made a suggestion to God? Then they made a suggestion. Well, remember how you gave us like power back in verse 1? And Jesus is like, yeah, I remember verse 1. Yeah. Well, we could call down fire out of heaven. And we could kill these guys. And Jesus is like, huh, does anybody else have any other ideas? Why don't you take a break? Let's hear from somebody else on the team. And he just says to them, he says, listen, whoever's not against us, they're for us. You know, like, let's not get caught up in that. And he's watching all this happen. He's watching some breakdowns in his team, but he's not ready to make any cuts yet. It's amazing how many of us really believe that God cut us from the calling that we once felt we had because we've messed up or made a mistake. It's wild to me how many people that I meet that really believe that God had them on a path to do something, and then they hit a hard time in their life. Something went wrong. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe it was something falling into sin. And now they believe that God had changed the plan and said, you know what? I'll give you plan C. How about that? And we're like, well, Lord, it's just gracious of you to give me another option, and I know that you'll take care of me. Right? God doesn't cut us nearly as quick as we think that he does. As a matter of fact, what is his response at the end of this comedy of errors? It says here in chapter 10, verse 1, the Lord's response, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and he sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. So Jesus' answer to that comedy of errors, Jesus' answer to the wild things that were coming out of these guys' mouth, he says, we should have more of you guys. We should do this more. We should do this bigger. Instead of 12, let's do 72. And man, I just see the heart of God so much in that. He's not demanding perfection of us. He's not demanding perfection of us. He allows for our mistakes. He allows for the things for us to mess up. He just wants us in the game. He wants us in the game. He wants us playing a part. So often, the disappointment in our lives that we experience lead to us saying, I'm just not going to participate anymore. Or I'm going to participate from the sideline. Or I'm just going to come to church and I'm just going to listen. But surely God doesn't have that for me. And I'm telling you, a great indicator if God has something for you is if you watch somebody else do something and you say, God, I wish, or God, I hope, God, I would love, God, if you could use me, that's an indicator that there's something more. You believe it's that simple? Churches are not meant to be fishbowls where we come in and we watch a few people do the ministry, where we look at the fish around in the thing, on the stage and to say this or do that. Churches, they're not meant to be that. Let me tell you what I believe they're meant to be. I believe the biblical model is the priesthood of every believer. It's the anointing and the crowning of every single person as a minister of God. Practical question, what's better? 2 pastors, 300 pastors. What do you think is going to affect Winston-Salem more? 3 pastors? 400 pastors. Raise your hand if you say 3. Raise your hand if you say 400. And when I say pastors, I don't mean the traditional sense. I just mean the people that are in the game of John chapter 21, the last memory that the disciples had of Jesus. He's giving his final talk. He died, rose from the grave. He appeared to them at breakfast. He appeared to them at breakfast and he said, do you guys love me? And they're like, of course we love you. We're sharing our breakfast with you. Of course we love you. He says, well then, feed my sheep. He's asked again, do you love me? Feed my lambs. 3 times, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And that's what I mean by being a pastor. I don't mean quitting your job. As a matter of fact, I would love things to go the opposite way, to fully be present in your place of influence and to pastor, care for, minister to those around you. And this is what I'm watching happen in John 21, and what I've noticed here as we've launched off with get-togethers, we originally called all the leaders pastors. And we called them get-together pastors. And we changed that name to get-together leader. And this is the reason why. It wasn't because we were afraid of using the terminology like pastor, because that's really what it is. These people are pastoring in their group, you know. But someone said to me, you know, I really am tempted to lead, but I'm not ready to take on the term pastor. And I was surprised by that. And I was like, okay, well, maybe we'll back off the terminology then and we'll just call it leader. But, you know, there are still those that are afraid of that word leader. And I understand. I remember when Matt first hired me 10 years ago, I was terrified at the idea of having to be accountable to a group of people every week to say something good to. Just to form like a good sentence of encouragement. That was scary to me. And I was like, how can I prepare something every single week, like a message or something in worship, to give away to these people? And what ended up happening is I became the young adult pastor and the youth pastor temporarily. So then I had two groups. And I thought it was so funny the way the Lord just like, you know, he's like, well, if you're afraid of that, I'll just give you double. And I found that as I stepped out in faith, God made a way. He gave me what I needed. He gave me the bread that I needed to give out. But so much of us are afraid of that word leader, and we put it in a category of somebody else at another time for somebody else to do it, but not me because of this or because of my mistakes or because I'm not good enough or smart enough. All the ideas we give ourselves. And so if pastor was an insufficient word, and maybe leader is an insufficient serve, how about the word servant? Just put off the ideas about what it means to really participate in the game of evangelism, of ministry, of loving your neighbor, of welcoming them into your home, of bringing the kingdom of God to everywhere you go. How about put off any idea about being on a stage or whatever else it is, and just say, what about just the word servant? I was sitting at lunch a few weeks ago with my friend Richie Kingsmore. I posted this on Facebook the other day, if you guys were friends on Facebook. But he said, the word servant, or the word leader is used 6 times in the Bible. And then he said, the word servant is used 900 times in the Bible. And then he said a sentence that I'll never forget. Why are we having so many leadership conferences? We're just kind of obsessed with the idea of more strength, more power, more influence. Let's take over. Let's do. Let's go. Let's be. Let's become. And with that, we can build up such a great expectation that all of us are afraid to live up to. But what if we backed away from that for a little bit and just said, okay, what if my goal is not to become a great leader? What if it's to become a great servant? I can do that. I can do that. I can love Jesus in the way he's asking in John 21. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. I can make an appetizer. I can't. My wife can. But I can do something. I can open up my house. I can do something. I can give. How about this? I can be available to witness the life of another person. What if it were that simple? I can be available to witness the life of another person. I can be present with them, and I can let them share their story with me. And even if I don't give an answer, or if I don't give something like of great wisdom, like I imagine I should, I can be there and I can say things like, hey, take your time. I'm listening. No rush. I can ask questions. So how do you feel about that now? How does that make you feel now? What are you going to do with that? I mean, that thing that happened to you is really terrible. What do you think that God has something he wants to use in that? Do you see what I'm saying? And I researched this. You know, we think that Christianity is something we're supposed to come into and have all the answers for and make these big declarations and tell people the way. But I looked at how many times Jesus asked questions, and I found over 100 places in the Bible where Jesus asked a question. Over 100 times, Jesus asked a question. Can anybody in here ask questions? What if ministry became that easy? A cup of coffee, an hour or two, open ears, asking questions. Serving. And so, I say all that to say this. I honestly, if I were to boil down what I'm saying, this new model of church means participation of every single person within the body of Christ, recognizing themselves as a minister, and really letting go of every excuse to not walk in that calling. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Letting go of every failure, letting go of every mistake, letting go of every bit of shame. I mean, we just were shouting and screaming about that in communion. Letting go of everything that could get in the way on that side of things. And then if it was an expectation or I'm not good enough, changing, just can you serve? Let's stand up together. I'm about to invite our GT leaders up. I believe that this new model requires participation of every person. And Awake Church, can I invite you into that? Let's do this. Just close your eyes. And I'm going to pray. This isn't going to be explosive. This is going to be something I'm challenging you. There's been a challenge presented to you today. Will you answer those questions that Jesus asked in John 21? Do you love me? If he were to say to you, if he were standing in front of you to say, feed my sheep, maybe you don't have to say, yes, God, I'll feed your sheep. I'm feeling passionate. I'm feeling juicy and anointed and convicted and all this stuff. Maybe ask him a real question. God, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? Do you love me? Well, God, what does that mean? How can I serve? How can I say yes to that and not just it be words, but it genuinely be an offering with my life? And just respond. And I know, because I've been here for 10 years, I know, I look around this room and see that there are people that have so much potential, so much to give to this community, so much that others being around you would be so enriched by just stepping out and taking time out of a busy schedule and saying, kingdom first, seek ye the kingdom and all other things will be added. Setting time aside, I am pursuing the kingdom. This is my strategy. This is my method. I'm getting out there and I'm participating in the game. And if that's you, if you're feeling the Lord stirring you saying, you know, I have put these desires in your heart to do more, to step out. God, I say yes to you. I say yes to you. That's simple. No emotion. I'm not asking for deep emotion. I'm not trying to do that. Just yes, I'll participate. I'll serve. Can I have our GT leaders come up? And you guys can be seated. Our small group leaders, for anybody who's leading a get-together this trimester. All right. Give it up for these guys. All these guys have agreed to lead this next trimester of small groups, which means you can be in any of their groups. Unless you're a man, you can't be in this group. Right?
Right.
Motherhood. No men allowed. No men allowed. Any other... Yeah. You guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. I'm so stoked. So this is our leadership team. These guys are opening up their home, and we're going to let them share a little bit about their group. I do want to say this. Groups are not eternal. They go in trimesters, which means if they're awkward, you can get out of it. Everybody say amen. We set it up that way so that there's a refresh. We don't want people getting burned out. We don't believe in that around here. We don't want people getting burned out. So what we do is we start a trimester in January. We go for about 2 to 2.5 months. And then we take a month break that we call open season. So as of today, open season just ended and a brand new trimester begins of GTs. So you can get in one of their groups now. And then we're going to take another break towards the fall and have our third trimester. And I just also, I think it's okay to give healthy incentive. There's a community that gets built around this stuff as well. I just realized I'm making you guys turn around and look at me. Sorry. There's its own type of community that gets built as well. For every person that leads a small group for 2 out of the 3 trimesters every year, I get to take to the beach for 3 days. And we just get to have a nice little beach vacation, and we celebrate together. We talk about our year. Are any of you guys going on that trip with me this year to the beach? And so we're going to have a blast, and we're really trying to let this be one of the main ways, our main strategies, that we influence our region, our city, and our church. And so this is Tim Roberts. He's one of my best buds, and he's going to tell you about his group.
Hey, guys. So by show of hands, how many people have ever thought of walking away from their faith? Maybe not a question to ask in a church. So my group is called Found Faith. And one thing that I've learned through my 20s is that when we operate on borrowed faith, or faith that we see in our leader, a parent, a pastor, a worship pastor, whatever, we don't have longevity. So at some point, our faith has to become our own. And so my group is going to be for 20s, 30s. If you're older, you can come. I don't know if you would want to listen to a young whippersnapper like me, but you can. I would love to have you. But we're going to meet in my home, and it's going to be a place to open up and talk about maybe some difficult things, ask difficult questions. When we have a solid foundation, we can actually ask really difficult questions, and we can trust that the Lord is going to be strong enough. He is strong enough to support our difficult, weighty questions. So, yeah, hope to see you, and I'll be out there, sign-up sheet, all that. So,
yeah.
So I'm Craig Roach, and I'll be co-leading the Marketplace group with Josh Young. This is a continuation from the first trimester, and this is going to be for anybody that is employed or not employed. It's whether you own a business, you're a leader, you work remote, or you're in Cubicle Nation. So it's the time that you're in that environment, 40 plus hours a week. So we're going to go through some practical applications to be a thermostat and not a thermometer. The first trimester, we did a lot of open forum discussion. This trimester, we'll be doing a little bit more, like I said, the practical application of what are the skills we can hone to be effective in our world as Christians and in business. So I encourage you to come out. We're going to be meeting every other Friday, either here or somewhere downtown or around town in a restaurant. But welcome, like I said, welcome anybody that wants to be a part of that. It's going to be really the iron sharpens iron aspect of how do we be effective in our marketplace.
Hi, we're Brad and Nikki Kaufman, and our group is called Coffee at the Kaufmans. And we believe in good coffee and good food. It's become a staple in our group. We meet every Sunday at 5 o'clock in our home in Clemens. And we actually are starting tonight with our first meeting of the semester. When we started our first semester, we asked our members that came, what type of group do you want? And overwhelmingly, the answer came back, we want a group where we can be real and we can establish lasting friendships. The relationship a part of the group was the hunger. And we said, well, that's great, because that's the kind of group we want, too. So that's what it's become for our group. We've developed relationships with people we'd never met before. And in fact, a majority of the people that came to our group the first semester were new to the church, including us. So it helped us really plug in not only to the church, but into each other's lives in a meaningful way. And we just, you know, we started doing things outside of our group, too, just to, because we develop friendships. So that's basically what our group is about. If you'd like to come out for that, you're welcome. It's open to singles and couples and people with kids, basically all ages. So God bless you.
Hello, I'm Janie Sinise, and I have a group called Sparkling Gems. We started this last time for the very first time, and I've changed it to a later time in the day so more women can come. It is for women. I don't know if David realized that, but it is women. And it's primarily to establish relationships, friendships between women. We're going to be meeting Thursdays from 11:45 to 1 at Zoe's Kitchen on Stratford Road. And I'd love to see all of you lovely ladies come and sign up.
Hi, my name is Kelsey Lentz, and this is Amanda Dye, and together we're leading this, we call it a go-round because the motherhood group and trimester just sounds funny to us. This, see what I did there? This is the second trimester. For this summer go-round, we're changing it up a little bit. We are having some meetings on Fridays at 10 a.m. in the well. The church graciously provides childcare. We provide some caffeinated bean water and some snacks. You're welcome to come and join us. This group is open to all moms, regardless of your stage, whether you are expecting, whether you have one child, or whether you have 9 or 10. It doesn't matter. We want you to know that we see you, we value you. Come and tell your God stories so that we can encourage one another. Let this team and the group of moms who have come and we've gotten to know encourage you, pour into you, and help you as in the season of raising up your children. We believe Bill Johnson's words that children are not given a junior Holy Spirit. So let us encourage you. Join us on Fridays. Oh, we need your cell phone number so that we can add you to a group text, and feel free to ask us to join the Awake Mommies Facebook page. We try to keep a schedule there, changes to the schedule, anything like that. So if you want to, anyway, come join us, coffee, childcare, snacks, and we have some fun activities like some hikes and park play dates for the summer go around.
And just one more little quick add-on. Half of our meetings this go-round. She stole my joke, by the way, I was going to say about the trimester. But are on Saturdays. So a couple, it's a little different than normal. So a couple reasons for that, just to have whole families involved if you want. Any mothers that can't make it on Fridays, we'd love to have you come out for the Saturday one. So if you want more info about that, I'll be at the table back there. And just ask me, and I can give you some dates.
And just so you know, she's in her third trimester, so.
That's right.
My name is DJ Luffman, and I lead a group called Awake Adult Singles. And this is for anyone who is an adult and is single. I want to make one thing clear. This is not Match.com or ChristianMingle.com, whatever. We are Awake Singles, and if you're not wearing a wedding band and you are an adult, come on and join us. What we're doing right now is we are enjoying lunch together every other week at someone's home, and we are all about connection, cultivating relationships, friendship. One of the things, I have been at this church married and single, and it was very lonely being single at this church, and Matt so graciously asked me to lead a group, and I discovered there are a lot of us. I thought there was the two of us, me and Elton, right? I thought we were the only singles, but there's a bunch of us, and we're getting together, we're getting to know each other, we're sharing a meal, learning who can cook, who can't. But the best thing is we are making friendships, and we are setting up outings. We went bowling the week last Friday. We're going to get ready to schedule a hiking trip. We're just trying to do things to make sure that we have friendships, because at the end of the day, we go home to our four walls alone, and we need friendship.
My name is Chuck Harris, and this is my wife, Kelly Harris, and we lead a GT group called the Harris GT Group, and we meet on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. We don't always start right on time, but we always end right on time, so if you need to fit it in your schedule, we'll get you home on time. We are studying the book of Mark. Sometimes we do other studies, but right now we're in Mark, and we have been for a while. We have all ages in our group from the 20s up to the 70s. We'd love to have you come, and it's a lot of fun. We do have light snacks and coffee and tea and water and things like that. We get together real quickly and socialize, and then we study the Book of Mark.
I'm always curious how fast that mic gets to me here. I'm David Tesh. This is my wife, Karen, and we lead the Sunday Night GT, Food, Fun, and Fellowship. And as so many of them have said, we wanted to be a part of a GT group right away because it gives you a chance to make what I call sticky friends, somebody that you can see on Sunday morning and get a hug. We all need hugs, right? So, but we spend a lot of time We do have a meal together, and then we sing, and then we just have a great discussion, usually about the Sunday service or about some other topic of interest. So give us a try.
My name is Melanie Seward. This is my husband, Jeff. Something that's been on my heart for pretty much over a decade is going deeper into what worship really is. And so, you know, what does Jesus mean when he says that the Father looks for those who worship in spirit and in truth? What does that mean? And going deeper and doing a deep dive into that and going after the Father's heart with everything that we have within us. And so we're leading a study on pure praise. It's a study by Duane Moore. And it's a journey into God's kingdom and exploring those treasures that he has waiting for us as we seek him and seek his kingdom. And we're falling in love with God all over again. I mean, we kind of like lose our connection with God sometimes. We lose our relationship with him sometimes. And so this is kind of like one of those, it's a spiritual workout. So we're going to like learn to daily surrender and daily praise and getting into it like a daily habit of seeing God for who he is and worshiping him in such a pure way that it's just by the time that we get together on Sunday morning, it's just going to just almost just like enhance what we do on Sunday mornings. And so that's just been on my heart for a long time now. And so I'm just grateful for the opportunity to facilitate a heart-focused study on worship and so we can dive deeper together. Oh, I'm sorry. We meet in Kernersville at our house, 7 o'clock on Sunday nights.
I'm Jim. My wife Tammy and I lead a group in our home on Tuesday evenings. We have a light meal at 6:30, and then we move into inductive Bible study. We take a portion of Scripture the week before and study it, meditate upon it all week, and ask God to speak to us through it, and come back and share that with everybody else. So it's a real rich time of fellowship and a great time over the Word. You're welcome. Most of the folks who came, all of them that came last time, want to come back. We still have room for a few more people, so if you're interested, please come see us.
Hey, my wife's name is Tim. Actually, no, my name is Tim. My wife's name is Ariane, but my name is Tim. I lead a young adults group in my house every Wednesday at 6:30, and when I first came to Awake, I was a very new Christian. I didn't really know what it was like to be a Christian. I was raised in a Baptist community out in Davie County. I didn't really have friends. I didn't really have a community back then at all, and I really wanted that. You know, you go through life, and you look around, and you see all these people in the crowd, and you're like, man, who are these people? I want them to know me. And it really, really hurt. You know, I didn't have that. And when I first came to Awake, there was a group that gave that to me. I remember this guy over here is Zach, sitting in the front row. I went to his house the first day for the potlucks, and he just gave me a big hug, and he's like, come on in. And I was like, wow, what is this? And it was the first time somebody modeled true love to me, which was really awesome. Then we had a street ministry, my wife and I, called The Vine. And it was through that I got to know her nature, her character, and what Jesus actually looked like. And I got to see her frustrated, and I got to see her awesome. And I learned that it's through figuring that stuff out, that's how you build relationship and community. And that's what the potlucks at Zach were all about back then, too. So we kind of do the same thing at our house. It was funny that David mentioned being awkward, because I'm super awkward when it comes to interacting with people. But being vulnerable is really important, and that's what we encourage, and that's what we offer. But yeah, Wednesday, 6:30, young adults, anywhere from 20, 21 and up, no real age limit. I guess you're all young adults in my eyes, so.
Awesome. Great. Give it up for these guys. And I'm going to let these guys get a head start out to the foyer, the family room, and they're going to be at tables for you to go and sign up for the group. And while they're doing that, I'm going to close us today with a joke. So a bear walked into a restaurant. A big old grizzly bear walked into a restaurant. He sat down, and the waiter came up and said, well, what can I get you? And he said, well, I think today I'm going to have a cheeseburger with fries and a Coke. And the waiter said, well, sure, I can do that for you, but I got to ask, why the big paws? And he said, oh, I was just born with them. Bless you guys. Have an awesome day. Sign up for groups, and we'll see you next week.